You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 5 March. We've got Woolies results later today. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Fahima Adia, Momentum Securities. I want to touch on the Nedbank results. Tough trading conditions, but not bad results. Peter Ennebrecht from ShopRite. They're doing 60-60 for ShopRite. And food inflation. Is that, are we seeing prices coming down? Hilton Kellner from Discovery Bank. They became profitable in the month of December. More details there. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. ASISA says CIS tax proposals must focus on boosting savings. Association said it is inconceivable that a regulated investment scheme will be recharacterized as profit-making. Business Day, economy rebounds after third quarter contraction. Rebound doing some heavy lifting there. Agriculture, which plunged in the third quarter, is better in the final quarter of 24. Morning markets, US red, S&P down 1.2%, NASDAQ off 0.4%. Over in the east, it's green. We've got Sydney and Tokyo up 0.1%, Hong Kong 1.5%, and Tencent 1.8% higher. Commodities mostly green. Gold futures 2,920. Brent is red at 70.74. Platinum 971. Palladium 957. Rand 18.47. Bitcoin 87,700. And top 40 opening call, about 440 points to the green, a little over 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Fahima Adia from Momentum Securities. Fahima, appreciate the time today. We are in the thick of earnings season this week. Nedbank numbers out, revenue up 4%, HEPS and dividend both up 8%. I've got to say, credit loss ratio back at, 87 points, down from 109, looked really good. They warn it's tough out there. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Your take on the Nedbank numbers?
Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. So yes, it was a strong set of results despite a tough environment. The headline earnings per share grew 10%, like you said, revenue up 4%. So both did seem to beat market expectations. And the share price was up almost 2% yesterday, so the market responded well. If we look at that return on equity, that strengthened quite nicely to 15.8%. So it does seem they're making progress in reaching that target of 17% in the medium term. And all of this seems to be driven by the strong non-interest revenue growth. There were lower impairment charges. Like you said, that credit loss ratio came down to 87 basis points. So that was an improvement from the 109 basis points in the prior year. So quite good to see that. And there were also some pretty good cost controls in the business. So all of that helped to offset some of the weakness that we saw on the net interest income side due to a consumer that is, of course, still under quite a lot of pressure, which has resulted in some slower loan growth.
And these stocks are still cheap. I mean, the dividend yield here around 7%, the forward PE around 7.5, price to book around 1.2. It's just off all-time highs. But, I mean, Nedbank is not expensive. Or are we just worried about the next year or two of its earnings?
Yes, exactly. I think the banks have had a weak start to the year. So it is looking quite attractive at this pricing. Like you said, you know, forward PE of about 7.5 times, quite a nice dividend yield of 7%. So it does seem like there's some upside here. But I think there are some headwinds given, you know, all these geopolitical issues we're seeing with the tariffs. And in the guidance, they did say that corporate lending could pick up, but household lending is expected to still be subdued. So we do need to see, I think, some further rate cuts come through in the next few months, which will benefit the banks. But for now, it is looking quite attractively priced.
Yeah, I take your point. There's a lot out there at this point in time. We'll leave it there for you, my dear. Momentum Securities, always appreciate the early morning time. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb Now on the money.
I'm chatting with Peter Innerbrecht, the CEO of ShopRite Group. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in ShopRite. 26 weeks ending 29 December. Revenue 9.4%. Diluted HEPS up 9.9%. Dividend up 6.7%. Peter, appreciate the time. Food inflation, we keep on seeing the data from StatsSA say it's coming down. Your data says it's coming down. Are we seeing prices actually, in some cases, lower than they were last year for your customers?
That is the fantastic news, is I think that in the general public believe that or feel that prices never come down. Yeah. They just go up.
Yeah.
So we went and had a look and I can confirm for you that 35% of the items that we sell have been in deflation the last 6 months. So prices do come down.
Yeah, your point. It never feels like it, but the data doesn't lie. What about input inflation more broadly? You talked in the presentation a lot about the cost to serve. Things like staffing, like rates, like petrol prices. How's that input pressure doing?
Yeah, there is probably, if you ask me, two things that I'm concerned about. The one is the incredible high cost of food. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is unemployment. Those two are my big worries. And we try everything possible to try and reduce the input costs. Whether that is changes in our trucks, the different trucks that we buy, mm-hmm. the fuel. And we also, I think we're the only, I don't know about any other South African retailers that's done it, but we've got a global partnership now with four other big retailers, Tesco, Woolworths Australia, Sobeys, and R. De La Hayes, and we're working together around this thing of cost to serve and mm-hmm. software that we share in terms of what makes the prices of an item, and is there possibilities for us to reduce that, but not to reduce the quality of the product, but how can we actually just get products cheaper?
One saving you've got, this is 26 weeks to late December, we had no load shedding. You've saved on diesel, but I imagine you pay Eskom instead, and there's probably not that much bottom line saving for you, or is there a whole lot more dropping to the bottom line as load shedding fades away?
It definitely did help. We used to have an electricity cost around 2% of revenue. Mm-hmm. And then with the load shedding, it went up to 2.3%. And we've now come down to 2.2% again. So there was a 10 bip saving in that. So we definitely saw a bit of a benefit there. It did help to curb the costs, input costs. Without a doubt.
Your 60-60 offering, you're now going to be rolling that via ShopRite stores. Is this going to be the same as the Checkers offering? Obviously, the ShopRite is a slightly different product mix. It's often a less number of SKUs, but otherwise, broadly the same offering.
Same platform, same. It's just the motorcycles are red and not green. And we were in a pilot phase for quite a couple of months in three stores mm-hmm. to determine whether there is a demand. There is a demand. So we're now rolling it out to 19 stores to make sure that we cover each of the provinces so that we can test what the market segment looks like to who this will appeal. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it works exactly the same.
Your YouSave, are you seeing increased competition in this particular LSM? You talk around the challenge of unemployment. We've seen GDP numbers. It is tough being a South African consumer. Does YouSave getting more competitive in that space?
YouSave is a very unique proposition. I mean, it's the only real limited assortment store in South Africa. Prices are the best. You don't beat YouSave. I'm so proud. It's one of my pride and joy is the fact that I don't know any other retailer that can sell or does sell a packet of biscuits, and there are 18 little chocolate biscuits in there for R1. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking a commercially hygienic, commercially produced product. So we now have a R1, a R2, a R3, a R5 product in YouSave. I don't know any other retailer that does that. So for me, a very unique proposition. We would have had many more stores if it wasn't that we also closed stores.
Yeah.
As areas develop and there's infrastructure, water, sewage, et cetera, electricity, and then we open a full-fledged ShopRite, mm-hmm. then we might close a YouSave. Gotcha. So we do that also, but I still stand by that. I say I expect us to have 1,000 new safes in the medium term. Mm-hmm. If we look at what rural South Africa look like these days, I mean, I'm sure you also travel sometimes through rural South Africa. And for me, that's almost the only model that's going to be able to survive in those towns where people can still buy decent, hygienic, safe food in a limited assortment way and something that's not so capital intensive.
Yeah, yeah, and fits the wallet. A last question, you're what you call adjacent formats, your clothing, baby, outdoor, pet, etc. Huge growth, I mean, more than 100%, but off a low base, I think it was just under 700 million. I mean, my sense around it is you're kind of testing market, and if it works, you can perhaps go a little more aggressive, certainly some more than others, but a lot of space there for those.
Yeah, it's a long play for us. We have looked at all of these business units and we said, okay, to continue to long term to be a high growth company, we need to invest in other parts of the business also. We are significant in food. We're not significant in these adjacent businesses, and we intend to become significant in them. And we will keep on growing on them, but it's a long play. It's still small.
Yeah.
I almost want to say it's not moving the dial yet. If you do 130 billion in 6 months, then you need to really move the dial. So we're not there yet, but I mean, I think before the year is out, we will probably be the biggest pet shop business in South Africa. We have 26 outdoor stores. The unique is a different proposition, and it's a controlled growth that you have to have because your lead times are so long. I mean, we already had to buy next year's winter clothing. So you need to know how many stores you're going to have next winter. Otherwise, you're going to get the wrong stock.
Yeah, and what we want to wear next winter. I'm not even sure what I'm going to wear on Tuesday. We'll leave it there. That's Peter Enebrecht, CEO of Shoprite Group. Appreciate the time. Chatting with Peter there, he talks around deflation on 35% of goods in their stores. Have you seen prices coming down, food prices at your local Shoprite, Checkers, Usave? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Hilton Kellner, he is CEO of Discovery Bank. We had results from Discovery Group 6 months ending December. Hilton, appreciate the time. For the bank, normalized profits for the period were negative, but the bank achieved monthly profitability in December and well ahead of target.
Yeah, hi Simon. So a really, really important and an excellent period for the bank. As you say, breaking through to profitability, we achieved an operating profit about 12 months ago, also ahead of plan. And during this period, quite far ahead of plan, achieving kind of bottom line profitability, excluding all investments and all of the new business acquisition costs. So the bank really kind of breaking through and scaling strongly now. So we're really, really pleased with that.
How many clients do you have now?
So we're over 1.1 million clients. Mm-hmm. We're over 2.5 million accounts, and both of those grew by over 32% of year on year over the period. So the client growth is now around about 1,300-1,400 new clients per day, of excellent quality. And I think what's also really encouraging is about 2/3 of those are completely new to the Discovery Group. So they represent kind of a greenfields opportunity to really engage those clients in our shared value model within the bank and more broadly. And so, you know, kind of the bank is really kind of forming the platform now for the entire South African composite.
And are clients using the Discovery Bank as their primary banking? I mean, are they depositing their salary into it every month?
They're actively using the bank. We see a lot of primary use. Deposits grew by 27% year on year to over 20 billion rand. Advances grew. We introduced the home loans product during the period under review, and that's quickly grown to over 1 billion rand home loan portfolio. And that's obviously a crucial product for a lot of clients in terms of primacy. But what we're seeing is that, you know, the nature of our product is a full service one. So it's not kind of a thin account. We offer everything, including credit cards, savings accounts, Forex, and private banking. So the entire spectrum of personal banking products. And so we're seeing a huge level of engagement, and that's increasing every day. What's interesting is our clients are accessing the bank app mm-hmm. almost every day on average. So mm-hmm. 25 to 30 times per month. Wow. On average across the client base. So you know, I think it just reflects a very, very high level of engagement and the kind of the usage of the product.
And the fact that you said a lot of the new clients are not discovery users already of one of the other products available. This is part of the genesis of the bank, is that opportunity now to say to them, hey, we've got invest products, we've got life products, we've got Vitality and the rest of the range.
Yeah, absolutely. And the nature of our ecosystems that we've built and the reward system. So mm-hmm. for example, Discovery Miles are additive. You know, if you're managing your health and you're engaging in getting healthier by going and running and physical activity or eating healthily at any of our partners like Checkers and Woolworths, you earn Discovery Miles, which is effectively monetizing all of these healthy behaviors, whether they're in getting healthy in your wellness or mm-hmm. driving better in Discovery Insure or managing your money in Discovery Bank. They all add together. And so, you know, for clients that come in through the bank, the opportunity then is to start monetizing their entire kind of lifestyle and these healthy behaviors across all of the different products. And so, you know, we're starting to see that really, really get traction.
You know, I've chatted a number of times around the sort of the behavioral around it. And you're still seeing this in the data that the Discovery Bank clients are perhaps better savers, that they manage their credit card better, perhaps better debt holders as well.
We're seeing that, and it's playing out probably better than expected. Mm-hmm. You know, this has been a tough period for consumers.
Yeah,
think about the last 2 years in particular, we had a rising interest rate cycle, put a lot of consumers under incredible pressure, financial pressure, and it came through strongly. I mean, that came through in bank credit loss ratios that we were seeing across the market. The Discovery Bank base has been incredibly resilient, high quality base, and we've seen all of the correlations hold. So the Vitality Money correlations hold in mm-hmm. terms of credit risk and defaults, as well as spending and resilience. And what we see is that our credit loss ratio is about half of the rest of the market. So you know, it really has sustained, and it's been kind of one of the key bedrock principles of the whole offering.
Okay, and I mean, to me, there's two numbers I always look at when I look at a bank result: credit loss. You've mentioned that cost to income. I mean, you don't disclose exact numbers, but I imagine being a online and branchless bank, you're not sitting in the sort of, maybe you are at this point because of the ramp up, but your plan is not to sit in the mid 50% as the traditional banks do.
Yeah, so I think we see the opportunity to really scale the platform.
Yeah.
And what we have seen as the client base has grown and scaled is the cost to serve per mm-hmm. client decreasing by about 20% compound per annum. Mm-hmm. And you know, as we've broken into profitability, you know, the cost to income ratio effectively drops below 100%, and is dropping or decreasing very, very rapidly as we add scale to the platform. So as you say, fully digital, mm-hmm. Branchless, and our cost base, what we're seeing is that it is both reducing in fixed and variable terms. So the digital model really is playing out well.
Oliver De Houten Corner, CEO, Discovery Bank. Appreciate the time. And that's it for today. I was chatting with Conrad Mapuani yesterday. We were talking Santam results, strong numbers, even as weather-related claims were up by 100%. We asked if you hold short-term insurers. Half said no, they're too expensive. And that was what Carmen said. Great business, but not cheap. Third said yes, some great value. Rest said no, climate change hurts. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30.
5:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Kiro Results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.